Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome live from cloudy Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and life. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear. Stylish uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine. UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader. The world of mental and physical performance. Spencer Sen. He's a high-performance mindset coach. He's a podcast host, hypnosis NLP expert. He'll be joining me, along with returning Bill Crawford, a National Fitness Hall of Fame teammate of mine, one of the Nautilus pioneers. He's a Lifetime Achievement Award recipient from the Hall of Fame, and he's a longtime basic training MedX facility in Scottsdale. Then the sports doctor's in, some upcoming guests and topics. So Dr. Bob Wisdom, some emails. Spencer Sen, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks a lot for having me. How are you today?
Great. You know, the mental game, such a big topic over the years. I had a Taoist from the Netherlands on a month or two ago, Gerard Wouters, talking about rules of 2,500 years ago that made as much sense today as they did then. Spencer, please give us some background on yourself and this high-performance mindset coach.
Well, it's not something I ever planned or saw coming in my life. I was a high-performing athlete, and career-ending injury happened. Lost a full-ride scholarship to Notre Dame, and my life spiraled out of control. Drugs,
what was
alcohol.
Your sport? What was your sport?
Well, I played everything, but when that happened, it was soccer and baseball.
Okay. Wow.
So...
still,
yeah.
A multi, you had a letter sweater with all those sports.
Yeah, multiple ones, for sure. Yeah, but my life, you know, spiraled out of control for years and basically got to a point where I wanted to end my life. And in that, shortly after that, you know, I'm a believer in faith in God, and God put resources in my path, the top mindset people in the world. You know, like Paul McKenna, considered number one hypnotherapist in the world, Dr. Richard Bandler, co-creator of neuro-linguistic programming. And not only did they heal me, they helped me, they trained me. They helped me recoup my control of my mind and my emotional states, and realized I had a gift for it and started in helping athletes, which was always my passion before, but couldn't play anymore. And now I focus on, you know, I help any age. But from 10-year-olds to 18 is really my focus, to help these young kids really get the mindset.
Bingo, yes. You're right out of the playbook, right out of the playbook of the sports, Dr. Spencer, where, again, youth sports is a big, big business. The more talented the kid is, the more the pressures mount, both physically and mentally. On the sports doctor, we talk about that's why I co-authored the book, hashtag a sports parent. Was the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries mentally as well as physically. So
yep.
This has become a very, very big deal, which was once thought 20 years ago to be, you know, men like voodoo, if you're talking about mental training. Now it's a science and backed with so much information. And what's been your relationship with the medical community in that relationship, when you're talking about this mental health and the, again, things like NLP, hypnosis, you know, what's hypnosis? How many thousand years old is hypnosis, Spencer?
Yeah. I mean, you can, you know, for people that are, you know, God-fearing people or whatever you want to call it, some people will be like, well, that's against God, even my own family members. No, it's not. If you look in the Bible, it talks about trance in a whole bunch of different places. Okay, it's actually a holistic, natural thing.
Yes, it comes from a spirituality point of view, which is, you know, it's not the, you know, organized religion, good luck to us.
You know,
yeah.
But when you think about spirituality, everybody seems to be, in so many ways, on board. And the idea, again, of having the importance, you know, a longtime colleague of mine, the late, great Jim Vickery, was a sports psychologist in the 80s with the Northwestern, the White Sox. He couldn't even use the word psychology. Scared people
yeah.
away. He was a performance enhancement consultant.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, psychology's yeah. come a long, long way. So the relationship of all of these situations, you know, when we have kids who are 10, 11 years old, they're already figure skating 10 days a week, doing all mm-hmm. sorts of tremendous pressure in some of these different sports. And I guess, again, the relationship, Spencer, with the parents, the coach, the kids themselves, the families, that's a big deal to you, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, it's all how we learn, our environment, everything included in that environment and around us. And, you know, hypnosis is really a natural state of focused relaxation, all right? And I explain it similar to being absorbed in a good book or a movie and lightning hits and you jump. You're in a natural state of hypnosis. And when you in the unconscious mind is the software to our bodies, okay? It runs everything, it records and remembers everything. So as we're learning and growing up, it's recording all of whatever experiences it has and interprets it however it interprets it. And the more you feed it, and that basically it helps you develop your beliefs, your values, habits. And then all of a sudden you get 40 years old and you look in the mirror and you're like, who is that? Because you've got all of this other people's coding, and what I do is help make sure that we start with kids and or adults and get that old bat, you know, the negative coding out and unlock their true code to greatness is what I call it, where we've been given this already. It's all within us. And when you combine that with NLP and hypnosis, NLP pinpoints the triggers and the patterns that need to change or they want to change depending on what they want. While hypnosis accesses the subconscious to solidify deep, lasting transformation. And then together they create a powerful system for personal growth.
Yes, I remember years ago the great Tony Robbins talking about neuro-linguistic programming, where he was talking about people that were modeling someone's tone of voice or they were their body language, all of these different things that became so important. Again, you know, the whole mental game. Think of the golfer. How do I forget that last terrible shot? You know,
mm-hmm.
or the free throw shooters years ago where they had one group, all they did was visualization and mental training. The other group had all sorts of free throw shooting. And the reality was is that the mental training was as effective. My young figure skaters over the years, they were doing visualization 30 years ago. And I think they were way ahead of the game in many ways when we were talking about, you know, these kinds of weapons. Yet it seems when I talk to all the experts from around the world, and the biggest topic, which has been over the past 10 years, post-pandemic and social media, you know, which is mental health. And I ask all these experts, like I'm asking you, how are we doing? And all these experts roll their eyes. You know, we're just it's so challenging, which is why it's so important to get this information out. Don't you think, Spencer?
Well, I 100% agree, and I'm going to go on a limb here, and this will ruffle some feathers, which I do that a lot.
Ah.
Psychology is all theory. It is not result-driven. Hypnosis together with NLP is result-driven, okay? So it's literally scientific and result-driven. So, I mean, how NLP works, it identifies and reframes the unconscious patterns and beliefs that shape our thoughts and emotions by shifting how we perceive situations. Perception is everything, and it rapidly improves confidence, performance, habits, all of that stuff where, you know, psychology, when we talk through stuff, that's good for some things.
Well, when somebody asks a question, somebody's a sports parent, someone's a coach, and they want to know, Spencer, what kind of time? Is it 10 minutes a day? Is it every evening? Is it how long does it take for the mental training to start to make a difference in everything that counts, like performance, like recovery? So, you know, just in general, and I know we're talking, people are unique, but in general, how long are we looking at if I want my son or daughter to really, or I want me, to tune into what you're talking about? What kind of time commitments or time frame, Spencer, have you found helpful?
Sure. Well, I've created two different versions. One where it's a transformational program. I call it iGOAT. I is for identity, G is for greatness mindset and goal setting, O is for outstanding confidence and eliminate blocks and overthinking, A is for anxiety and stress management, T is for true grit and resilience, okay? That's a five-session program. It's a 60 to a 90-minute session per each that addresses each one, and then I give them a custom daily mindset plan that they use daily that's easy enough for a 10-year-old to do.
What kind of follow-up do you do?
I continue to keep in contact with them and work with them in support and communication between sessions. So I have a whole customized program.
How do you find the communication, Spencer, between that athlete's parent or that athlete's coach, just in general?
Well, it's challenging, but when you have experience at doing this, you can identify patterns, right? And then you can address them. That's why I stay in communication in between the sessions, because of those environments are so important to be supportive on that, adolescent, that minor child.
What's the best website, Spencer, people can go to find out about you and your work?
They can go to Freedom and Healing, all spelt out, freedomandhealing.com. And I have two brands, really, Freedom and Healing, and then I have Championship Mindset. And then I have the Championship Mindset
podcast. And again, you talked about
podcast.
Working with some of these young kids. You know, we just celebrated in February 15 years to my young figure skater here in Illinois. Evan Lysacek won the Olympic gold medal. He was 10 when I put orthotics in his skate. And I wrote an article called The Prodigy Sports where, you know, everybody wants kids to play different sports. We all do. It's wonderful. Use different parts of the body. That's great unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater.
Yeah.
Even now, soccer, tennis, specializing very, very early. And this is why we try to recommend services like yours. The earlier, the better. What are some of the different sports that you found that you're working with some of these kids, Spencer?
Any of them. I mean, I do a lot of baseball, soccer, swimming, volleyball, tennis, running. I mean, you name it. It doesn't matter the
What's
sport.
What's the challenge?
It really all comes down.
I wrote books about it. Overuse, overkill, overscheduling. What is
burnout.
That could lead to burnout. The great Tracy Austin. I put orthotics in her tennis shoes in 85, I think it was. And, already with because she was, the world's best at 16 years old. Good luck to you on those kinds of pressures. But the idea, again, of including this kind of training for these kids, even in or their families, becomes something, you're talking about the mental program or programming, so to speak. So all sorts of different sports. How much specialization do you see, whether you like it or not?
Specialization as far as what?
Well, the kids talk again. They got a figure skater, that's all they want to do.
Oh,
or the
gymnast.
They're in the gym 10
days
a week.
Yeah.
And this is what they're doing. They're swimming every day. And we run into overuse, burnout, overkill. How much attention do you pay to rest and recovery?
A lot. And I'm seeing what you're describing more and more, and it's creating anxiety issues. It's creating bounce back issues. It's creating issues overcoming and healing properly with injuries, confidence issues, burnout, where kids
Spencer, don't you understand? If my son doesn't take two Advil twice a day, his ankles are killing him, and he's on the traveling team, and he's got to play. Half these kids are living on over-the-counter. Anti-inflammatories. There's so much overkill. This is one of the real challenges in youth sports education. By the way, the kids are also supposed to have fun. Right, Spencer?
Yeah, right. And this is how my career ended. I kept getting injured, and I was the best person, and I kept playing and playing and playing to the point of a bone defect. So what I do with parents and coaches is I educate them on this stuff. And help them really learn the basics of mindset so they can direct
and here's my two pearls for you. Here's my two pearls for you for today. We'll talk about it a lot when I'm on your show at the end of the month. Again, yeah. Which is number, I don't care what your kid plays or what their level is or what their age is. I don't care you. Number one, strengthen your feet and ankles routinely. And yeah. Number two is work balance. Do balance
That's
work.
Right.
Now that we've seen pickleball, and I wrote an article about pickleball in 2020 before anybody knew how to spell pickleball. And I said pickleball is physical. As we started seeing, you know, seniors and super seniors, hey, man, let me get out on that court. And then everybody was getting injured because they just weren't ready for that kind of situation.
Right.
But the mental game is such a big deal. This is why we were so excited to have you on with us and talking about all of these different levels. You know, what's your boy-girl ratio, roughly, before we run out of time? What's the boy-girl ratio with you?
Well, recently it's been more girls than boys, but,
right.
You know.
This is what we're seeing. Give me again, I knew we'd fly through time with you. Give me again the website. People could find out about you and your work. And, again, we're going to let them know way beforehand when we join you at the end of the month. So give us that website again quickly, Spencer.
Freedomandhealing.com. Freedomandhealing.com.
And is and spelled out?
And. Yep, all spelled out.
Okay, hold on. That's great. Thank you so much for joining me. It's the Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back. Hold on, Spencer.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Sports Doc, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back Bill Crawford. He's one of my National Fitness Hall of Fame teammates. He is a Nautilus pioneer, and he's also a Lifetime Achievement Award recipient from the Hall of Fame. And he's a longtime Basic Training MedX owner out there in Scottsdale. Hey, Bill, welcome back to the Sports Doctor, my friend.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure, and I appreciate you having me on.
Ray, you know, Bill's trained from superstars to kids to grandmas, everybody in between, a tremendous guru in education in the whole world. And also, again, one of the pioneers way back. Give us a little bit of the history on you and include some of the history with your Nautilus connection, because that was one of the connections with you and I, the late, great Bob Guida. He also had a Nautilus club, I don't know, 1977, something like that, that tremendous
sure.
Hoopla. So give us some of that background, Bill.
Well, I was fortunate enough to kind of stumble into the fitness business in Los Angeles in 1976 when I left Colorado to go out and just kind of see what was going on in the big city. And I met a gentleman that was opening up a gym, and his brother had just met Arthur Jones, the inventor of Nautilus, and he had this new equipment that he wanted us to check out. So we looked at it. We thought it was great, and we became... kind of like the flagship for Nautilus in Los Angeles, and we opened up the first Nautilus clubs, and that was really the beginning of the fitness boom in Los Angeles in the modern era. What Nautilus did is it brought everyday people in so that they could learn how and effectively lift weights without, you know, the free weights and all of the issues that went along with free weights.
Yes, the idea, I remember, when I met Guida, it was 1977, the Sports Fitness Institute in Illinois, in Glen Ellen, owned by a chiropractic group, and Guida was the next Mr. Universe, and he became a tremendous high-performance sports guru where athletes from all over the world came to see him for rehab, and wow, you know, Nautilus was like, you know, like one set, and the machine-controlled range of motion, all these important things, which were so new, quote-unquote, and exciting in many instances to the sports world, back to the Jack LaLanne days. And they really were a revolutionary sports. And is Med-X a current part of that world, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. Med-X is building more machines than they can go. They can't fill the orders. They're so busy. And, of course, Med-X was the furtherance of all of the Nautilus principles after Arthur perfected them. Of course, Arthur worked on the theory of train the muscles in isolation, train them through the full range of motion, train them with equalized resistance, and train to muscle fatigue. And we now know from tons and tons of research and testing that that really is the most efficient way to build muscle. So the Med-X equipment, Arthur was a little perplexed, and he stumbled on the fact that the Nautilus machines had chains, sprockets, and guide rods, which contributed a little bit of friction to the movement. So he eliminated all that friction and modernized them. And Med-X is absolutely the gold standard. It's the best equipment in the world. It's really popular.
And it's the safest. This is, again, it's a big deal. And with Guida, we would talk about that also. There was a big question, a big word involved. That was safety. So that, you know, when you think of free weights and all their tremendous advantages, and there are many, rubber band training, all of these kinds of things, all require proper technique in so many ways. And the idea of being able to safely, again, move that muscle group, whatever it happened to be, through a range of motion with control and safety made a big deal. And I remember the idea, you know, one set to fatigue. Holy cow, who the heck thought of that? I remember was some of the sports medicine thinking back in the day, Bill.
Well, it defied the, you know, the reasoning of the times. And, you know, people like Joe Weider and some of the muscle head gyms and things like that, they couldn't stand it. They went crazy on the concept. But, you know, time has proven that that is the best, most effective way. And they're all compatible with the joints, the axis of rotation. See, every joint in your body is rotational axis, and the Nautilus and the Med-X is aligned with the rotation of the joint that's being worked that's connected to that particular muscle. And, you know, everybody that was involved in the Nautilus back then, and there were lots and lots and lots of Nautilus facilities all over the country, it just exploded. We all have, you know, wonderful experiences that we could share, great success stories, and it's still going on. And it's survived 50, 60 years. There's nothing out there that even comes close.
Well, that's why we always include strength training in the new medicine that I talk about all the time on The Sports Doctor, which is, number one, eat smarter, and we'll let everybody come up with their own definition of smarter. But number two is keep moving, and you want to be, you have a million different choices. You could be a walker, a runner, you can go to yoga, you could do Pilates, you might be at the gym, you want to be including, and the safety of resistance training, even in the super seniors, was something that, you know, the world was in sports medicine was very, very scared of that. And you find that your type of training is like 3 to 103, right, Bill?
Absolutely. If you could take all the benefits of weight resistance exercise and put them in a pill, you'd certainly have the wonder drug of the millennium. And there is no substitute for weight resistance exercise. All the other stuff is good. It's better than sitting on the couch doing nothing, but nothing comes close. The weight resistance exercise done properly with the right kinds of equipment. And we get people in their 90s, mid-90s, come in walkers and wheelchairs and canes. Guess what? They're up walking around and doing everything they want to do in a short period of time.
Yeah, our friend in the National Fitness Hall of Fame, David Lyons, his whole fitness world with MS patients.
Right.
And again, the idea that one of the biggest medicines in the world is exercise. And, of course, the resistance training has always been some. We found that 95-year-olds in nursing homes can benefit. Now, you include, for instance, I remember Guida was very big on pulleys. And, again, like you said, the reducing friction and the chains and all of these different sophisticated machines. And a rubber band many times duplicates a lot of that. And rubber band is absolutely included in strength training, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're not in the gym and you don't have access to equipment, the rubber band is absolutely the next best thing. It's progressive resistance. There's no dead spots. I designed a rubber band program for the U.S. Navy to use on their submarines, And there's a website with 14 different exercises that you can use with rubber bands. It's called gymtogo.com. And so anybody out there that is traveling or has challenges...
It's a key. Again, it's one of the biggest recommendations. And when I recommend, I don't care what your sport is, I don't care how old you are, and I don't care what your level is. You could be the best athlete in the world or their grandmother. Is strengthen your feet and ankles. And rubber bands are a great way to do it. You can stress a champion with tension bands, or you could be using it with an 8-year-old. And what, you know, think about it. When you stretch a rubber band, it requires stability, holding power. It requires strength coming back with the band. And this was something that could mimic free weights in many, many different ways. And then the idea of all of these balance exercises, oh, gosh, Nautilus and MedX pay so much attention to alignment and balance of all the joint systems, right?
Absolutely. That's the whole key. And when we're working with people that have balance issues, the first thing we do is give them strength in their legs, and then we work on their balance, having them do regular exercises on unstable platforms so that their brain can respond without them having to think about it.
Yes, keyword. Keyword you just mentioned, unstable. We had a whole series of things. We called it instability training. And instability training was exactly whether we had athletes balancing on mini trams, and if they were a hockey player, they were swinging a hockey stick. If they were a tennis player, they were swinging a tennis racket. If they were a baseball player, they had their glove on. And Guida had them on all barefoot on all sorts of different areas of the tram. And the idea was, again, create imbalance. Now, if you're 85 years old, you might be standing on 1 foot at a time, closing your eyes and holding on. But you want to simulate that instability. I'm glad you brought that up. And it becomes such a big part. Again, if you're running and jumping and landing and changing direction and your body's been there before, sort of, then you know, Guida would say, train the brakes. I remember you saying, strengthen the opposites when you were on the show the last couple of times that you were talking about that. How long have you been in Scottsdale, Bill?
I've been in Scottsdale since 1996. I was in Los Angeles from 76 to 86, and I came here, and then I went to Germany. I worked with Arthur and setting up rehabilitation centers with MedX over there. I had a couple of places in Florida, and I came here in 96, and my wife Debbie and I have had the same facility here for almost 30 years now. So, great. We work together.
I know
every
that
day.
She's involved with some of the different programs, isn't she? I mean, besides making sure that you know what day of the week it is, Debbie's quite involved in your gym and the training, isn't she?
She is. She works on the MedX side, and she's a great trainer. She's worked side by side with me for 30 years. And she knows what she's doing. She knows more than most, that's for sure.
Well, this is why I always have to ask you. People who work with athletes, their families, you've worked with the best in the world and teammates and teams. I always have to ask you guys, how's your sports psychology skills, my friend?
Well, you know, there's a lot of truth in, you know, strong body, strong mind. And the determination and working through it and making it happen and concentrating on the positive aspects. And it's a domino effect. Once that sets in, everything else falls in behind. And
how about rest and recovery, which you talk about? This is a tough sell. Although now we pay such attention to it, rest and recovery, overkill is rampant. That's why I co-authored the book. I'm going to talk more about it, the whole world of overkill and overuse problems. Both young and old, we're talking with Bill Crawford, National Fitness Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement Award recipient. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, we're back with Bill Crawford, National Fitness Hall of Fame teammate. Bill, I mentioned to you right before the break, you know, overuse the problem of overuse in youth sports. I mean, bigger, faster, stronger. Every time I turn around, there's another guy throwing 100 miles an hour. Shortstop, who is 6'8", 240 pounds. Otani, et cetera. So we're mentioning, again, rest and recovery, the importance of not overdoing it. What are your thoughts when you deal with the best, as well as their teammates or their families?
More is not better. You have to have the rest. So the whole idea is to train hard, push the muscles into muscle fatigue, you know, where you have stress in the actin, myosin fibers, and then the day of rest, when your body is recuperating, that's where the benefit takes place. That's where the muscles come back bigger, better, and stronger than they were before. And if you deprive your body of the opportunity to recover, you can actually get overtraining atrophy. You're not going to get the gains. So it's stress, rest, stress, rest. That's the key.
You know, again, we have these teenagers, think junior high school, think high school, think whatever the sport is. If you're down where the weather's nice, you might be playing baseball, you know, every day, 365 days a year. Or if you're in a traveling team, club sport, you know, kids, volleyball, gymnastics, figure skating, where they're doing it 10 days a week. And we run into all of these types of problems. And what do you recommend, again, even for the weekend warrior? You say you want them to show up to the gym 2-3 days a week. Is that what you're looking at, Bill?
Well, I don't look at this as leisure or recreational. You have to fit this in with your daily life. Brushing your teeth, combing your hair, that sort of thing. It's not fun.
Big point.
It's not something
big,
you do directly.
That's a big
part
point,
of your
Bill.
Daily,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Everyday life. That's what it is, and that's where the benefit takes place. And some of the most resistant pockets of ignorance that I've seen are high school, college athletic coaches. They're still in the dark ages. They're not up to speed with evidence-based training, and they hurt a lot of people doing incorrect exercises and overtraining. So that's
the big,
it's a big
area. Again, when I have on all the time, whether it's internationally, nationally, locally, athletic trainers, again, sports medicine specialists from A to Z. And again, that's a big point that you're making, where still today, with all the education, all the awareness, we'll use even concussions as an example, let alone overuse injuries. And the more talented your kid, the more the pressure's on, physically and mentally. So that statement, again, where we still see the concern, although I do believe we're making progress, you're one of the big reasons. You've been teaching this stuff forever. One of the big reasons we're making progress is the fact of this, you know, education regarding the importance of rest and recovery and paying big attention to, like you said, more is not better. We got to underline that with our pencils, right?
Yes, absolutely. We want to get the maximum effective dose in the shortest position and shortest time frame possible. I have friends that are trainers for professional sports teams, and they are highly educated. They know how to do it right. But because the coach worked out in his garage with free weights when he was a kid,
right,
they have to follow
his
ideal
doctrine. What's the pressure, Don? Don't you understand, Bill? I got to have this guy better tomorrow. This is where we ended up with 100,000 deaths a year from opioids, where we had all of these tremendous, and the lack of the respect of the mental side. That's why it was so exciting. You know, one of my contributors to my book, Robert Andrews, the Institute of Sports Performance, he's got a wall of gold medals working with Simone Biles and all of these teams. And the fact that Simone Biles and Michael Phelps came out and talked about mental challenges and these kinds of situations where the pressure got so intense, it got next to impossible, and this we had a lot of that education. I know you have. Hey, that's the National Fitness Hall of Fame, and our friends with the Hall of Fame going back all these years. Talk a little bit about your involvement over the years. When were you inducted?
2012.
And
are you still there?
Work,
yeah, 2012.
See, there's so much education to work.
There's a lot of great people in the organization, and there's more coming. There's so much coming in the very near future from the National Fitness Hall of Fame. We're very excited about the president's proclamation to bring back.
Yes,
the
I was part of that thing. 1992, my friend. I got pictures of the Chicago Bears And all of a sudden, the president was changed, and all of a sudden, there was a different emphasis. We were very excited. I'm very excited about the National Fitness Hall of Fame also getting involved in this battle with the type 2 juvenile diabetes. We've got to get this word across and the routine inclusion of exercise. You know, you get to junior high school, one out of 10, one out of 30 kids are on a team. Everybody else is looking at their phones. So, and this is, and are overweight. So, again, this is why the educational side of the Fitness Hall of Fame, John Figarelli, his great family. How far does the National Fitness Hall of Fame go back, Bill? I'm guessing.
I'm thinking 25 years.
Yes. Going back to the Schwarzeneggers and the Dr. Bob Goldberg and some of these other champions, my good friend Dr. Jim Stockson, the great Bob Guida, the late Bob Guida, another the Lifetime Achievement Award winner in that situation. So again, the idea of health and wellness and the sports medicine world, it's such a big deal. And again, the two things that matter to everybody, right, Bill? Number one, can you prevent problems and injuries at whatever level? And number two, when indicated, can you enhance performance? You know, and the whole idea of proper training and a lot of these things that you've been teaching, you're at it like 7 days a week, aren't you, my friend?
Seven days a week. I'm lucky. I found something to do in life that I love doing, so it's not really work for me.
1 minute.
And again, the whole idea of education. Give us again, I know the time flies by with our longtime colleague and friend. Give us the website. People can find out about you and your facility and everything you're doing.
It's easy. It's basictrainingscottsdale.com. All connected.
Basictrainingscottsdale.com. Again, Bill Crawford.
That has links to the YouTube channel, the Gym to Go page, and all of that. There's a lot of information.
Right.
On there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Shout out to your good time partner, Better Half Debbie. And we'll catch up with you soon. Bill, hold on, Bill. This is Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, we are back with the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little bit of Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix and maybe answer a few emails if we have time. As always, we've got some exciting, great guests coming up. Tony DiGrazio is part of the advisory board with the LEAP Alliance, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention Group, and is somebody who's fought diabetes himself. So he's going to be joining us next week. And then Hillary Loftus, Hillary with the Hyperbaric Oxygen World. Hillary was the educational director with the Working with Our Wounded down there in Florida. She's been involved with some of the school programs with concussion treatment. So we're excited to have her back. The following week, we've got one of the co-creators of this Dynamite podcast group, That One, number one, Mike Sciarocco, with his great podcast, as well as his group. He'll be joining us. As a matter of fact, Dylan Gemelli. He's also a podcaster, all areas of the mental game, some of the different challenges, not only in sports or without, the world of fitness and anti-aging. So he'll be joining us. Great guests, great topics. Wow, it's the start of the World Series. I don't know, whatever it is the next day or so. And you got to mention it. It's so exciting. You know, you had some incredible playoff action, whether it was on the one hand, this once-in-a-lifetime Ohtani performance in that game, pitching striking out 10, hitting 3 home runs, just like Babe Ruthian. And we've never seen anything like it. And the team that got beat in the American League that lost to the Blue Jays, Seattle, with their catcher, Riley, and his 60 home runs this year. One of the points I wanted to bring up, again, with the excitement of the World Series, this tremendous history of so many clashes. Yogi Berra with his 10 rings, the Yogi Berra Museum in New Jersey, is bigger, faster, stronger athletes. Watching the baseball playoffs, you take a look at these guys. I mean, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Hank Aaron, were like 6 feet, 5'11", 190 pounds, tremendous athletes, Jackie Robinson, so many great athletes. Not that there weren't any larger, bigger, or stronger athletes, but you're looking, Ohtani, I think, is 6'7", Aaron Judge, 6'7", 6'8", 240 pounds, being great athletes. On the rink in hockey, we might see a 6'7", 6'8" player, linebacker, 6'6", 250. Every one of them is quick as a cat. Men and women, boys and girls. And the challenges in injury prevention. We had two great guests talking about it today with Spencer Senn and DeBill Crawford. These challenges of these bigger, stronger, faster kids. I was watching, the topic was vertical leap. And this one group with vertical leap, the world record, I wasn't even aware of it, was 51 inches. However, I was telling them that I remembered working with Bob Guida. He was the strength and conditioning coach for the Olympic volleyball team. We had a team from Cuba coming in. Somebody had said he had a 52-inch vertical leap. I can't remember who he was. Darryl Griffith, the doctor of dunk of the University of Louisville, for years had the highest 48.5 inches. So the explosiveness of these athletes. And again, going back to trying to prevent injuries with these bigger, stronger collisions, I was watching the Louisville, beating the number 2 team in the country, Miami. And they were talking about the offensive line at some of these colleges, 300 pounds routinely. Every one of these kids quick as a cat. So the challenges definitely are there. So enjoy the World Series. Gosh, the Dodgers. Growing up, my dad was a New York Giants fan. I was a Willie Mays fan. But then you had Mickey Mantle in center field with the Yankees, Duke Snider with the Dodgers. And I grew up hating the Dodgers, and now I appreciate them. I like them, but I'm still a Giants fan. So enjoy the World Series, and pay attention to the size of some of these athletes at whatever level. Again, the idea of the importance in the world of type 2 diabetes and the effort we're making to try to do something about this explosion, this epidemic of, again, type 2 diabetes, including adolescents and kids, when years ago it was adult onset type 2 diabetes. And the importance of exercise is crucial for these growing kids in order to add that battle against obesity, sedentary lifestyles, especially today with the challenge. I can't believe I lost the I'm back. I can't believe it popped out. But the challenge, again, with these kids and the whole mental side of it. So we're paying big, big attention. The lower extremity amputation prevention group, founded over a dozen years ago by Dr. Larry Rubin, the fact of all these diabetic amputations, there's thousands and thousands of them. The organization claims, again, with one of our colleagues, David Armstrong in podiatry, and all the great work he does, which is to try to identify foot problems earlier before we're dealing with wounds and potential infections and gangrene, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that 80% of these amputations are preventable. Whoa! So the fact that, holy cow, we have a whole population growing up with susceptibility to diabetes is of tremendous concern. It'll break us financially. You can't afford, an overweight kid dealing with diabetic concerns, hypertension, again, the obesity, could be five times as expensive growing up than without it. So we want to include this educational side on the sports doctor. We'll talk more about it. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining us and thank our friends at BBS Radio. And we will catch you next week, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. See ya.